Well, thank you very much, conference. And first of all, you will have noticed that I am not Naomi Long. And Naomi sends you all her best wishes, and you appreciate that she's been very unwell yesterday, and with a lung condition under doctor's orders, she's been ordered not to attend party conference, and that's something that she's been looking forward to all year, given the huge successes that we have had. But I'm sure she's tuning in and watching proceedings with huge interests, and in particular making sure I don't say anything I shouldn't be saying. But on behalf of us all, can I just ask you to once again pay tribute and thank Naomi for all she's done over the past 12 months and before that to get the party to where it is as we are now. And this, of course, is our 50th anniversary conference. And rightly, we will look back and reflect over the past half century with pride. At the same time, we come together at a time of unprecedented success and influence for Alliance. And it's great to see so many of the founding generation of the party here today, people such as Breege Napier, Jim Hendren, Dennis Loretto, and the Glendinnings. And we will be marking the 50th anniversary much more formally at an event during April. Our founders, of course, will be delighted at the current success of Alliance. And it is, of course, built on the foundations that they laid. Indeed, for a brief few weeks at the end of January, we simultaneously had representation in local government, the devolved assembly, Westminster, the European Parliament, and a seat in government. So we meet on the back of our most successful year to date. Our success in the local government elections exceeded our wildest expectations, with an incredible 53 councillors returned from a pre-existing base in the low 30s. And still, with a few more votes in the right places, we could have won even more. We are now players in councils right across Northern Ireland. But as it turned out, the council elections were just the warm-up act for the land surge to take Naomi all the way to Brussels and to Strasbourg, with quite a stunning result with an impact well beyond our shores. And in the general election, our vote went up right across the board with some spectacular increases in many constituencies. I previously described Alliance as the fifth party in a four-party system. But now we have made the historic breakthrough, and we are now the third party in terms of share of the vote. And of course, I'm delighted to be before you as Alliance's second ever elected Member of Parliament. And it was especially poignant to win North Down during that 50th anniversary year, as the party's founding document was signed, of course, in Bangor. I want to also take this opportunity to once again put on record my thanks to my election team, so ably led by my election agent and the soon-to-be successor, Andrew Muir, as MLA. I'm sure we all can think that Andrew has really hit the ground running as a new member of our assembly group. Now, people are often asking us the question, what was the recipe for Alliance's success? There are quite a few reasons. For starters, we have to recognise that Northern Ireland is a changing society, and changing far more quickly than many people appreciate. And more people are moving away from traditional labels and expressing open, mixed and multiple identities. Secondly, we called Brexit right from the very start, and have been coherent and consistent throughout. We have clearly articulated and defended Northern Ireland's interests. Thirdly, we have channeled frustrations around the politics of deadlock and delay, and channeled that desire to see change, reform and delivery. Success has bred even further success, and the old canard that a vote for alliance is a waste of vote has been consigned to the dustbin of history. We have proven that we can win anywhere in Northern Ireland, and we are drawing our votes from right across the community. We have proven that in a political context, usually framed around constitutional question and a clash of identities, that a Liberal and cross-community party can not only survive, but flourish. But conference, while we have broken that particular glass ceiling, there can be no room for complacency or sitting back on our laurels. We must press on to new heights. And we must recognise that we gather at a time of unprecedented challenges for Northern Ireland, combined with uncertainty within these islands, across Europe and around the globe. So, there's no escaping from Brexit. Though apparently the word Brexit has been banned in Downing Street and across government, except to references in a historical context. However, Brexit is set to dominate the political and economic and security context, at least for the next decade. We were proud Remainers, and we remain passionate Europeans today and into the future. The European Union is central to shared peace and prosperity across the continent, and it provides a framework to better address common challenges such as international development, migration and climate change. Coming to our own situation, Northern Ireland only works on the basis of sharing and interdependence. That was assisted by close cooperation between the British and Irish governments and the joint participation in the single market and a customs union that dissolved borders. We should look forward to and aspire to Northern Ireland rejoining the European Union sooner rather than later. But for now, Boris Johnson is set to pursue a reckless, hard Brexit. The Brexit extremists exhibit the characteristics of revolutionaries, in this case fuelled by a libertarian ideology and wishful, delusional thinking. Dissenting voices are labelled as enemies of the people. Like most revolutions, it will at some point run out of steam and destroy itself. But for now, a collision course has been set with the European Union, with an irresponsible and unworkable prospectus for a future relationship just set out last week. The UK is turning its back on the biggest and most important neighbour for the pipe dream of a global Britain, all the time failing to recognise that it's through the European Union that the UK can best project soft power and expand international trade. And without selling off the NHS or betraying our farmers and agri-food sector. And not undermining employment rights or putting our environment further at risk. But it gets even worse. This government seems determined to sacrifice international human rights standards and can't even commit to upholding the European Convention on Human Rights, something that is so central to our Good Friday Agreement. And most immediately, the government is playing fast and loose with the Northern Ireland-Ireland Protocol. Boris Johnson is failing to recognise the realities that flow from what he has already signed up to. And this is a tendency that's now also affecting some of our own local ministers. We are not fans of the protocol. We don't want to see any borders and friction anywhere in these islands. Northern Ireland depends on integrated supply chains and sales networks, both north, south and east, west. We preferred May's deal with its backstop. The Johnson deal is a harder Brexit and the protocol is now the front stop. But the protocol is part of the withdrawal agreement, and failure to implement it not only undermines the UK's ability to negotiate free trade agreements, but also risks leaving Northern Ireland in a no-man's land, with the Good Friday Agreement undermined and a renewed risk of a hard border on this island. It is not in our interests to have a cowboy economy. We are a mature, rules-based and globally integrated economy. Business needs certainty now and into the future. The protocol does bring its challenges, but we must be in the place of seeking mitigations and flexibilities rather than evading responsibilities. And that sharp distinction must be clearly understood. And with mutual trust, potentially we could build on the protocol and protect services and the freedom of movement and enhance the all-island economy. Pending the revolution eventually eating itself or a wider reconsideration of Brexit itself, there is no alternative but making this protocol now work as well as possible for the good of Northern Ireland. And on the theme of making Northern Ireland work, we now have the New Decade, New Approach document. While we have had some robust engagements with both governments over the past few months and beyond, I do want to place on record our thanks to both Julian Smith and Simon Coveney and their teams for getting us to this point. Conference, let's be clear. Northern Ireland should not have had over 1,000 days of uncertainty. Huge damage was caused to our public services and economic drivers during that period, alongside the unknown missed opportunities that would have passed us by. And we should recall that prior exercises of devolved government were lacking in many aspects of good governance, coherence, strategic vision and delivery. Obviously more on that towards the end of next week. New Decade is not a perfect solution. We are under no illusion around its flaws and limitations. But coming from where we have been, it is a necessary starting point. It is far from the summit of our ambitions. For us, the central objective remains building reconciliation and creating an integrated society. Three immediate challenges emerge from New Decade. First, the reforms to the position of concern need to be delivered. And if they are insufficient, the government must go further. This is essential for delivering a fair, equal and rights-based society. Second, the changing nature of our society must be reflected in our institutions. It's long past time that the designation system in the Assembly and the associated voting system were changed. Third, we must address the situation facing Northern Ireland's public finances, and indeed some important weeks lie ahead. Let's be clear, the current situation is both the product of a decade of UK austerity and local mismanagement and waste of public funds. Therefore, the devolved institutions do need to both pitch for additional resources for Northern Ireland while not only promising but demonstrating the ability to deliver meaningful reforms. We should continue to press the UK government for further assistance based on our legacy of division and violence and the pressures that flow from that. But we shouldn't be afraid of our feet being held to the fire on reform. Alliance has been clear and consistent in highlighting the considerable distortions to our public finances from a divided society, while calling for this to be addressed with resources redirected into public services. Others are now sharing this narrative, but the challenge falls to the executive to turn this into reality. No one involved in politics or within their community can be under any doubt of the enormity of the challenge facing our health service. Accident and emergency facilities are often at breaking point. Waiting lists are beyond belief. GPs are far too stretched, and our staff in the health service overall are undervalued and underappreciated. Northern Ireland is missing out on new drugs, treatments and technologies that are available elsewhere in these islands. Meanwhile, our mental health challenge, it gets ever deeper, with a particularly serious challenge around suicide. On top of all that, it must now address the yet uncertain challenge posed by the impact of the coronavirus. This society cannot carry on this way any longer. The Bangor reforms need to be delivered. And also in education, we need to see some Bangor-style reforms too. And our new chair of the Education Committee, Chris Little, has been calling for this for many years. Alliance is proud to have played the central role in securing the commitments in the new decade document to that comprehensive top-to-bottom review. While our education system is world-class in many respects, there remain challenges of inequalities and underachievement. Not enough has been done to prepare young people for the world of work. Too many young people are still educated separately, missing out on invaluable educational and life experiences. And once again, in an inefficient and ineffective system, we're preventing enough money from being invested in the front line and addressing special educational needs and investing in teachers. The goal must be to have children educated together in the same classroom. Now, of course, Alliance is now back in government. This was not a straightforward decision, but it was the right thing to do. This is a time for everyone to step up and to take responsibility. We are delighted that Naomi has taken over the role as Justice Minister. And she will work closely with all of the justice stakeholders, including the Chief Constable, from whom we will hear later. And it is right that we pay tribute to the officers of the PSNI and all other actors in our criminal justice system who work on behalf of this society and the rule of law while under ongoing threat and danger. Naomi has a busy in-tray. She will be bringing forward a domestic abuse bill before the Easter recess. For the first time, this will close an important gap for victims of domestic abuse, introducing an offence to cover emotional or coercive behaviour. An advocacy support service for victims of domestic and sexual violence and abuse will also be created in order to provide a more coordinated and tailored response to their needs. She will also implement key Gillan recommendations, which also have the potential to transform the experience of vulnerable complainants, for example, by avoiding re-traumatisation and repeatedly having to give evidence. An important theme was the need to speed up justice, which has much wider impacts on the entire criminal justice system. So this is why she will introduce a committal reform bill to streamline the committal process and help to tackle delay in the system. Naomi has met with victims of stalking who have been failed by the gap in the current law. And this is why a stalking bill will be introduced in the autumn and will also provide a more effective and appropriate legislative framework to protect victims. We'll also be introducing a range of measures to tackle paramilitarism and organised crime by the end of the year, including enacting the Criminal Finance Act. And she will continue to lead a cross-departmental approach to stamp out paramilitary control of communities, building a culture of lawfulness and confidence in the entire justice system through creating a safe, shared communities. So we need Naomi back on her feet sooner rather than later. We are committed to making devolution work. There is no other sustainable way to govern this region than through power sharing. But Alliance is also conscious of calls for wider change across these islands. We recognise that Brexit and other factors have energised the debate around the constitutional question. Given the nature of Alliance, some may suggest this would be a particular challenge. But on the contrary, these are debates in which we can engage with confidence. Alliance is not a party that is defined by the constitutional question. We are not an amalgamation of unionists and nationalists in some uneasy coexistence. Rather, we are a proud cross-community party, self-confident in our identity. And while there may be some members who prefer the union and some who prefer a United Ireland, and indeed many who are open to persuasion. We are not only united, but defined by our shared commitment to make this society work, to overcome division, and to build a better future. Wherever lines are drawn on maps, these will remain the core challenges for this place. And in turn, the spirit of partnership and cooperation across these islands, built on the Good Friday Agreement, must be preserved and indeed enhanced. We don't believe that there's currently a case for a border poll, nor are we pursuing one. But we do recognise that there is a very fluid situation and that multiple active debates are underway. So, conference, we can, with confidence and without prejudice to any outcome, engage in civilised, rational and evidence-based discussions. And in all respects, we will be guided by our vision and our values and always advocate what we think is best for Northern Ireland. Still, there are other uncertainties in the decades ahead with which we must engage. Across Europe and in many parts of the world, the traditional rules-based international order is coming under more and more stress. We're seeing the rise of populism and nasty exclusionary versions of nationalism. Sadly, many of these traits we're now seeing here in Boris Johnson's United Kingdom. We see this with the hostile environment, the abuse of the Windrush generation, and the undermining of human rights standards. In particular, we reject the looming immigration bill. Immigration, specifically the freedom of movement, have not only provided great assistance to our economy, but enriched our society. There's often a false choice presented between developing our local skills base and being open to the rest of the world. We must do both. So beyond just seeking mitigations from that legislation to recognise our specific circumstances here in Northern Ireland, we are opposed to these proposals as a matter of principle. All of this, of course, is put in context by the current climate emergency. This is set to be the greatest global challenge facing us all. We should be inspired by the leadership demonstrated, particularly by many young people. A pan-society and pan-governmental approach will be required, and some difficult decisions and choices lie ahead. Great ingenuity and innovation will also be required, and through a Green New Deal, new economic opportunities do lie ahead. We are determined to provide strong leadership and to ensure that the burdens of change are shared fairly and equitably. So, conference, as Alliance enters its second half century, we do so with confidence and pride. We have played a crucial and constructive role in transforming Northern Ireland, but there's much more to do. The next few years are set to be a roller coaster, but through our vision and values, we will be instrumental in steering a society to a secure and better future. Thank you very much.